الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani channel, there are many excellences related to sending salawat and salam, peace and blessings upon our master, our intercessor, our most beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration which is found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, the hadith book which is known as Musnad lil Imam Ahmad, the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif. The narration is as follows. عن أبي طلحة الأنصاري سيدنا أبو طلحة الأنصاري رضي الله عنه. He reports this. He says, قال أصبح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما طيب النفس. One morning we saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in a state that he was very happy. He was very happy. Happiness was apparent from his blessed face. يُرَى فِي وَجْهِهِ الْبِشْرُ. That this happiness could be seen upon his blessed countenance. Now the companions, they asked, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَصْبَحْتَ الْيَوْمَ طَيِّبَ النَّفْسِ. Today we see that you're very, very happy. Happiness is upon your face. What's the reason behind this? قَالَ أَجَلْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, that is the case. I'm happy. Atani ati min Rabbi. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to me. Someone came from the court of Allah and revealed that Allah has said, Man salla alayka min ummatika salatan. That whoever recites salat upon you just once, kataballahu lahu ashra hasanatin. In return, Allah Ta'ala will write 10 good deeds for such a person. وَمَحَا عَنْهُ عَشْرَ سَيِّئَاتٍ. And Allah will remove, erase 10 sins of that person. And he doesn't stop there. وَرَفَعَ لَهُ عَشْرَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will elevate a person by 10 ranks. وَرَدَّ عَلَيْهِ مِثْلَهَا. And bestow 10 mercies upon them as well. So, brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani channel, what do we learn from this one narration? That where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us 10 good deeds in place of reciting salat once, Allah ta'ala will forgive our 10 sins, Allah ta'ala will elevate us by 10 ranks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow 10 mercies upon us. That's great, that's amazing, that's the mercy of Allah. What we learn in addition to that is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam becomes pleased when someone recites salat upon him. How do we know that? Because when this narration, when this blessing and this excellence was revealed to him, he showed signs of happiness. Therefore, as believers, as ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should always recite salat upon him to the best of our ability, insha'Allah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let's make some good intentions, insha'Allah. Make the intention that you're here only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, insha'Allah. You will listen with utmost attention, with concentration, with focus, inshallah. Whatever you remember from the bayan, you will try your best to remember it. How are you going to remember it? By showing adab. Imagine someone is speaking to you and you're looking left or right or on your phone. First of all, that's not respectful. Secondly, you won't understand what that person is saying because you're not attentive. So when sacred knowledge is being conveyed, we shouldn't look at who is delivering, we should look at what is being delivered. These are the words of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is our deen which is being instructed. So, listen attentively, you'll remember what has been said. Secondly, whatever you remember, make an intention that you will try to share this with others. When you share it with others, you're revising what you've learned, you're benefiting from that knowledge, and so are other people as well, inshallah. Like this, whenever you get to do a good deed, make good intentions prior to that good deed in abundance. May Allah give us tawfiq in this regard. Ameen. So inshallah, in today's short bayan, we'll be hearing about this great personality, Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. This personality who Allah Ta'ala has praised by revealing verses in His excellence. Yes, there are verses of Al-Quranul Kareem. When you study them, when you read the tafaseer, the commentaries behind those verses, the ulama mentioned that these verses were revealed regarding Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu. Now imagine when Allah is revealing verses in your shan, in your excellence, in your honor, how great a rank must you possess? And then, if that wasn't enough, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised Sayyiduna Ali on so many occasions. So many times amongst the Sahaba, before the Sahaba, he mentioned Sayyiduna Ali has this rank, Sayyiduna Ali has been blessed in this manner. And we'll hear those narrations as well, inshallah. But we'll also hear about certain aspects of his blessed life that we can learn from directly. Obviously, when we hear about the shan of Sayyiduna Ali, we can't just adopt that shan or that excellence. That's specific to him, exclusive to him. There are greatnesses and excellences which are specific to people. But what we can learn from them and adopt from their lives is how they lived in this dunya. Their perspective of the dunya. How they spent their days and nights in the dunya. We love them. We claim to love them. We love Sayyiduna Ali. But do we follow him? Do we have the same mindset as him? Do we have the same thinking as him? Are our a'mal similar to his actions? Like his actions? This is a true test of our love. This is the criteria for love. That when you love someone, you follow them. You follow in their footsteps. So inshallah we will hear how Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu considered this dunya. What was his approach to the hereafter? Inshallah, we will hear about this. First of all, just a brief introduction. We know that Sayyiduna Ali, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, Sayyiduna Ali was born in Makkah al-Mukarramah and he accepted Islam at the age of 10. So he was the first from the youngsters, the youth, to accept Islam at the age of 10. His mother named him Haydar and his father named him Ali. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the title Asadullah, the Lion of Allah. Sayyiduna Ali, he was from amongst the first group of people who made hijrah to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And he's also one of the Ashara Mubashara. Who are the Ashara Mubashara? They are those 10 fortunate individuals from the companions who were time and time again given glad tidings of Jannah through the blessed tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said in that hadith, Aliyun fil Jannah, that Sayyiduna Ali is in Jannah, in paradise. He's an inhabitant of paradise. Meaning, Sayyiduna Ali will most definitely be in Jannah. And for his sake, millions and millions and millions of others will also be admitted to Jannah as well. We know regarding Sayyiduna Ali that he bravely, courageously participated in many battles of Islam, including the battles of Badr and the battles of Uhud as well. Now, after Sayyiduna Uthman bin Affan, radiyallahu anhu, the third Khalifa of Islam, after he was brutally, mercilessly martyred. Who became the Khalifa? Sayyiduna Ali, Mushkil Kusha, Karramallahu Ta'ala, Wajhahul Kareem. Now Sayyiduna Ali fulfilled this role as Khalifa for 4 years, 8 months and 9 days in splendid fashion. Imagine the rule, the Khilafah of Sayyiduna Ali, who was a very knowledgeable companion, very wise. His every decision was filled with wisdom. And concluding his Khilafat on the 17th or the 19th, the ulama differ in this regard, the 17th or the 19th of Ramadan al-Mubarak, he was attacked by a Khariji and he was severely wounded. This was in the 40th year of after Hijrah, in Ramadan al-Mubarak. And because of that wound, because of the pain, because of the immense suffering he went through, he eventually passed away on the 21st of Ramadan al-Mubarak. Listen to what the Prophet ﷺ said regarding Sayyiduna Ali. How beloved was Sayyiduna Ali to the Prophet ﷺ? You will understand from this narration that I'm about to mention. Lady Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, who was the most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Ahlul Bayt? Ahlul Bayt, the people of the household, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's own household, his family members. She answered, Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet alaihi wasallam. Someone asked, what about the men from the Ahlul Bayt? She replied, her husband, meaning Ali, was the most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then she adds, she says, according to my understanding, according to my knowledge, the reason why Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu an was the most beloved member of the Ahlul Bayt to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is because he would abundantly worship and fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of his kathratul ibadah, abundant worship. Because of his kathratul siyam, because he's constantly fasting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he became beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learn from this that we too should adopt this. We were speaking about loving the awliya, loving the sahaba, but then following them. Sayyiduna Ali was beloved to the Prophet alaihi wasallam. Why? Because of kathratul ibadah, abundant worship and fasting. We should do the same as well. Sayyiduna Ali did this throughout his life. Throughout his life, he worshipped Allah. Throughout his life, he fasted. Another narration. Sayyidatuna Mu'adha Ghifariya radiallahu anha. She says, one day I went to visit Aisha and I saw Ali leaving her home. When I entered, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was inside. And he said to Aisha, oh Aisha, he, meaning Sayyiduna Ali, is the dearest man to me. Oh Aisha, you are to acknowledge his right and respect him for my sake. You are to acknowledge the right of Sayyiduna Ali and respect him for my sake. Who is saying this? The Prophet alayhi salam. Who is he saying this to? Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Who is he saying it regarding? Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And we've already heard that from the Ahlul Bayt, he was the most beloved male member to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anha, although we could be here day and night, the reality is we can never ever do justice to this topic of speaking about Sayyiduna wa Mawla Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. Someone who Allah has praised, someone who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised time and time again. How can me or you ever do justice? We can't. So when we speak about him, we're bettering our own hereafter. One thing regarding Sayyiduna Ali that we know is that he was a very knowledgeable person. Allah blessed him with immense knowledge, to the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha." I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its door. This was a blessing of Allah upon him. This is why the Prophet alaihi wasallam said, "Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha." Now when you have such an individual who is so blessed, who is so knowledgeable, who is so filled with wisdom, everything he says is filled with wisdom, every action of his is filled with wisdom, then do you not think that whatever he explains to us or instructs to us should be adopted. Of course, when you have such a knowledgeable person saying this is how you should live life, this is how you should think about the hereafter, we should take that on board. Why? Because we're not as knowledgeable as Sayyiduna Ali. We don't have as much wisdom as Sayyiduna Ali. We're not as pious as Sayyiduna Ali. None of the above. So listen to what Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, and what the ulama said regarding Sayyiduna Ali. So for example, Shaykh Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the greatest awliya of this ummah, he said, Shaykhuna fil usuli wal bala'i Aliyun al-Murtada. He says, in matters of the spiritual path and tolerating difficulties, Aliyul Murtada is our leader, is our master. So Sayyiduna Ali, what was his approach? Darrar rahmatullahi alayhi, he narrates, he says, once what happened, he says, I make Allah a witness. Not once actually, countless times I saw Sayyiduna Ali fearfully in the mihrab at night, trembling in fear. And he would hold his beard and move restlessly as if he had been bitten by a poisonous snake. Imagine someone has been bitten by a snake, how would they be reacting? They'd be all over the place. The Raj says, I saw Sayyiduna Ali like this in his mihrab at night, holding his beard in his hand, trembling. And what was he saying? He was saying, oh my Lord, while crying. And he would address the world. Sayyiduna Ali would address the world and he'd say, oh dunya, have you adorned yourself to deceive me? Have you beautified and embellished yourself to deceive me? Deceive someone else, go away from me. I have detached myself from you. Your lifespan is short and it is easy to bear your calamities. Dear brothers in attendance, viewers of Madhi Channel, this one statement of Sayyiduna Ali, if we were to analyze it word by word, we could be here all day. So much wisdom in this. The first of all, Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu would cry, but what would he cry for? What would he cry out of? He would cry out of love for Allah. He would cry out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do people cry about today? They cry for worldly reasons. A bit of financial problems, it's not crying. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu would cry for the sake of Allah. Secondly, he addressed the world and he said, are you beautified just to deceive me? So he knew about the traps of the dunya. He knew about the schemes of the dunya, how the dunya presents itself to someone so that that person becomes stuck in it. That happens today. We meet so many people and they have no time for salah, they have no time for Islam or deen or anything of the sort. It's just dunya, one-way traffic. Here Sayyiduna Ali is saying, are you beautified so that you can deceive me? Go away from me. Sayyiduna Ali said, be gone, deceive someone else. I have detached myself from you. And then he finishes by saying so wisely, he said, your lifespan is short. If a person knew how short his life would be, he would not go around running, chasing this dunya. If he knew how short this is, short-lived. And the calamities that we face in the dunya, sometimes we over-emphasize them. We overthink about them to such an extent that it's like a mountain hovering over our heads at all times. But Sayyiduna Ali is saying that your difficulties, oh dunya, your difficulties are easy to bear. Soon they'll be over. At the end of your life, when you leave, you go to your grave. The hereafter, that's eternal. But the dunya, the difficulties are easy to bear. Who's saying this? Sayyiduna Ali, Babul Ilm, the man who was very wise. And then he would also say, woe to me, my provisions are few for this long and fearful journey. This was his ajizi, this was his humbleness. That he would say, I haven't accumulated anything for this long journey ahead in the akhirah. Whereas we know regarding Sayyiduna Ali, that day and night he would worship Allah. He would fast outside of Ramadan. Verses of Quran have been revealed about his generosity, how he would spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When such a man is saying that he has no provisions, then you know it's because of his humbleness. On the other hand, this applies to us. We have very few deeds. Our sins outnumber our good deeds by a large amount, we should be fearful. This is something we can adopt from the life of Sayyidina Ali. Show fear of Allah. Cry in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah to forgive you. Ask Allah to save you from being deceived by the world and the people of the world. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala also said, listen to another wise saying of him. He says, O people, the hereafter is coming and the world is leaving. And there are people who desire each of them. Become those who desire the hereafter, not the world. Indeed, today is the day of action and not accountability. Whereas tomorrow, on the day of judgment, it will be the day of accountability and not actions. Again, this statement. You can analyze it, go into detail. Time does not permit though. But Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is saying there are two types of people. There are people of the dunya, there are people of the akhirah. People of the dunya, their traits, that's all they think about day and night. Accumulating more and more and more and more of the dunya. People of the akhirah, what they do gather, what they do accumulate, it's to strengthen their deen. It's to invest in their akhirah. It's to save themselves from haram. They have good intentions behind it. Sayyidina Ali says, it's up to you which of the two people you want to be from. People of the dunya, people of the akhirah. Also, he continues and he says, today is the day of action, not accountability. So make use of the time that you have now, these days and nights. And tomorrow on the day of judgment, there'll be no chance to do any good deed. We know about the day of judgment from the sifat, the descriptions of the day of judgment, people will go to another person and say, give me some good deeds. He says, no, I haven't got enough myself today. I can't give you any. Mother and father will neglect their children on the day of judgment. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ The Quran tells us this is that day. People will run away from each other. So, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an goes on to say, and this is another saying of his, Abdul Rahman Murri rahmatullahi alayhi narrates, he says that Sayyidina Ali once said, should I tell you about the greatest regret? Today we have our own regrets, right? Oh, I was not able to secure such and such a job, such a contract. I was not able to get a certain job or achieve this by this age. We have our own personal regrets. Let's be honest. Sayyidina Ali is saying, shall I tell you the greatest regret? It's the regret of a person who accumulates dirham after dirham and wealth upon wealth. But when he dies, everything he goes to the inheritors. Everything goes on to be owned by the inheritors. Now, just to explain this, because someone might object and someone says, it's a good thing. You're earning for your inheritors, for your children. But what this statement actually means is, if you have not done correct tarbiyah of your children do not know how to spend in accordance to Sharia. They live a luxurious lifestyle, and many a times that entails doing haram actions as well. Then when you leave all that money behind, and that person you left it behind for does not know how to utilize that wealth in a way to benefit you in the grave, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ma'adallah, if he spends it on haram, and you are at fault for not giving that correct tarbiyah, that dirham, that wealth, that whatever you left behind will be a source of punishment for you, not a source of comfort. So today, whilst we satisfy ourselves and people say, I'm doing this for my children, but are you also telling your children that when you've gone, long after you've left, that they spend that money, every single penny, in accordance to Sharia, in accordance to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in ways that will benefit you in the grave by having a well dug for you, sadaqah jariyah, by building a masjid for you? If we're not doing this, and all we're saying is we're leaving it for our family members, and you know full well that they could ma'azallah, thumma ma'azallah, Allah save all our children, but you know that they'll use it for wrong reasons. Someone's involved in drugs, someone's involved in other haram activities, then that money left behind will not be for a good cause. That money will not benefit you. So where you accumulate, where you tire yourself, also teach your children about the value of wealth, rizq, and how to spend it as well. This is what Sayyidina Ali is saying. that the biggest regret is for that person who spends all his life gathering dirham upon dirham and then he leaves it behind for inheritors. Meaning the inheritors will misuse that wealth and it will become a source of punishment for him. So these were just a few sayings, aqwal, statements which show the wisdom that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu possessed. He was someone who was detached from the dunya, as we know. He lived a very simple life in following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's our imam, he's our leader, we have love for him. His children, Imam Hassan and Hussein, are the leaders of the youth in paradise. His honorable wife, Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu anha, she is the leader of all heavenly women. We know regarding Sayyidina Ali that the Prophet alayhi salam said, "Anta akhi fi dunya wal akhirah." You are my brother in the dunya and the akhirah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the maqam of Sayyidina Ali on so many occasions. So we have immense respect for him. We have reverence towards him. But it doesn't stop there. We don't just listen to fadail of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. We don't just listen to his maqam, his shan, his excellence, and that's it. What do? We take the next step. We follow his teachings as well. How he lived in the dunya. And we heard glimpses of that. How he was someone who was a strict adherer of the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what he advised his entire life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the barakat of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and enable us to follow in his footsteps. And may Allah grant us a place in Jannah in his blessed company as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah. We are calling upon you.